O'Brien, Perek Zayin, Hilchos Tznayin Anishus. So the Rambam says that Amalach Verim Yoldeish from the Keva Reim and Tiveshus is Lo Maklam. But if it was Hukah Ubra, so then it's Mekideshus. So the Ravid argues that the Rambam over here is making a mistake because that's according to Rav Loz Ben Yaakov. Loz Ben Yaakov maintains other Maklam of a Shlo Balaolo. And Hukah Ubra is the case of Tavar Shlo Balaolam, and only Rav Loz Ben Yaakov is the one that maintains that that's good because she's Lo Balaolam, because she's non-existent. Okay, she's just an Ubar. So that's on the surface. That's the Ravid essentially his argument. Rav Chaim shows you more from the Gemara exactly the Ravid's argument. That when you take a look at the Gemara in Kedushin of Sama Faze, you'll see the Gemara over there is explaining Rav Loz Ben Yaakov. And the Gemara says that even though Rav Loz Ben Yaakov maintains Adam Machna Darash Lo Balalom, but he too has limitations. And the Gemara there has two cases. The Gemara is a case of vegetation and Truma, because the Allah of Adam Machna or Ein Adam Machna Darash Lo Balalom makes a difference not just with regard to Kinyonim, but it makes a difference with regard to, for instance, Chalos Din Truma as well. That if you hold out a Machna Davar Shlo Balaolam, so then you can create a Chalos Din Truma in a Davar Shlo Balaolam. And if you don't maintain that out of Machna Davar Shlo Balaolam, then you can't. So the case is Truma it comes under the Chalos Din Truma is equal to Kinyonim and Dina Mominis and the Kinyonim Yisra, like the Dishim and Truma, they're all the same. So the Gemara over there sets up a system that even according to Loz Ben Yaakov, who holds other Machna Davar Shlo Balaolam, but don't think it's just without limitation, there's got to be something. So the Gemara says in the case of Truma, you need Shlish in order to create real Truma. Shlish Truma. But before that point, you can't talk about Truma. So whether the thing that you're trying to create Truma in didn't reach that point, or whether the thing you're trying to create Truma for didn't reach that point, makes no difference. You can't speak about Truma because it's Lo Balaolam. But according to Loz Ben Yaakov, you can, but don't think he has no limitation whatsoever. He maintains it must at least reach the level of Shachas. That's Machlokes between Rabbah and Rav Yosef. Because there's three stages. There's Shlish, which is through 100%. There's Shachas, which functions like through, it's Roy Lebehema. And then there's what the Gemara calls Agam, which is where it's just sprouting, Smachim Rakim. So that happens to be Machlokes. Now Machlokes Amorayim, that according to Loz Ben Yaakov, you need something, but what is that something? So Rabba says that something is Shachas, where it functions like a Torah. And Rav Yosef says, no, even less. Even if it just started to grow, sprouting, Smachim Rakim. Okay. Now, but at any rate, the Gemara is saying that according to Loz Ben Yaakov, this is the way the halacha sets itself up. It doesn't just work just randomly without any requirements. You need something, so you must have the level of let's take level of shachas. According to Rabbah, it must be the level of shachas. Okay, according to Loz Ben Yaakov. Now the Gemara says there's an analogous case with Kinyan Kedushin and a woman and an embryo, okay, pregnant woman. So the Gemara says that there's a brisa which states that a person that wants to create Kedushin in his friend's daughter, so it's lo maklum, it's worthless. No, she's not born. It's unborn daughter is lo maklum. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Hanina says, that it's only, this is where the Brisa says that it's nothing, it's worthless, the unborn daughter is worthless. So Rabbi Hanina says, we have to qualify this, that this is only in the, this is only, where she's not pregnant. Then saying that where there's no, that she's not pregnant, then it's nothing. But let's say, for instance, if it was, if she were pregnant, that's a different story. Then the Gemara says, according to Rabba, who holds shachas, you need shachas. So the analogous case over here by the embryo would be hukar ubra. And that would be like shachas. And according to Yosef, that holds even smachim, so as long as she's mubaris. But you don't need hukar ubra. So the Gemara is setting up an equivalency. There's an equation here between the two systems. The vegetative growth, which has smachim, rakim, shachas, and shlish. And it would seem the Gemara is saying over here the same thing with the embryo. That the tzmachim rakim case would be mubaris, and hukar ubra would be equal to shachas. And then it would seem the Gemara is saying that when it gives birth, when there's an actual birth, that's equivalent to shlish. But clearly, Rabbi Hanina is saying that the brisa is going according to Blaz ben Yaakov, and therefore his halacha is that hukar ubra is good because it's equivalent to the case of shachas in the vegetation. So Rabbi Chaim is showing you that that's how the Rivet argument, at first sight, sounds like it's flawless. It's inescapable. Because the Gemara clearly equates hukar ubra with shachas. And that's why he says it works. Whose position is it that shachas works? That's Rabbi Loz ben Yaakov. So hukar ubra equals shachas. And shachas is according to Rabbi Loz ben Yaakov. So therefore, it seems clear that we're speaking according to the Mandama that holds Adam Machna Davishlo Bal Olam, one of the times of Loz Ben Yaakov, the Gemara says. So therefore, the whole halacha of Hukar Ubra is only according to Loz Ben Yaakov. So how could the Rambam come along and paskin against his own psak, where he holds Ainad Machna Davishlo Bal Olam, and over here he's going to paskin like of Loz Ben Yaakov, who clearly the Gemara is saying, Rabbi Chanina is saying that when the Brisa says that it's no good, that's only if it didn't reach the level of hukar ubra. But hukar ubra, that would be good. Why? Because shachas is good according to Blaz ben Yaakov. So clearly, this is a halacha according to Blaz ben Yaakov. And we don't pass like Blaz ben Yaakov. The Rambam doesn't pass like Blaz ben Yaakov. So clearly, the Rambam is in contradiction or contradicts the Gemara. That's our Rokhaim. Rokhaim is showing you this is the Rivet's. This is the structure of the technical structure of the Rivet's argument. So Rav Chaim says that the technical structure is not flawless. It's not seamless. There is a way to explain the Gemara and yet not maintain that this is only according to Blaz ben Yaakov. Because he says if you look at the Gemara, all the Gemara is saying is that if it's not hukar ubra, it's not even shachas. That doesn't necessarily mean that if it's hukar ubra, it's considered a davar shel bala olam. If you're going to say there's an exact, the Gemara setting up an exact system of analogy between vegetation and between the embryo, then you're going to say like this, that the muberes equals agam, hukar ubra equals shachas, and birth equals shlish and tfuah. But the Gemara never followed it through to the end. All the Gemara said was, that according to Blaz ben Yaakov, if it's lo hukar ubra, no good. But if it was hukar ubra, all Rabbi Chanina said was that if it's hukar ubra, it's good. But he never said, I'm saying that hukar ubra is good only according to Rabbi Blaz ben Yaakov. He's saying it would be good according to Blaz ben Yaakov, and he holds it would be good according to the Chachamim also. In other words, it doesn't have to follow an exact analogy. The break-off point over here of hukar ubra could throw you into a different realm. Maybe that hukar, that we have like this. Below hukar ubra, even Rabbi Loz ben Yaakov will maintain it's no good. Because it's not even shachas. But if it's hukar ubra, it's good according to him, and it's considered davar shel bala olam according to Chachamim. Okay? There's no reason why it can't, why there's no reason to say that that there can't be, in the case of Muberis, a different kind of a system where below hukar ubra is considered nothing according to, even according to Blaz ben Yaakov. And hukar ubra is considered something even according to the Chacham. There's no proof, technically, logically, from the Gemara that you cannot say such a pshat. And the case of Mu Beres is different. Less than Hukah Obra, even according to Blas Minyakov, no good. That's what the Bryce of Bryce, when it says it's no good, is speaking when it didn't reach the level of Hukah Obra. But Hukah Obra is good. But it doesn't mean it's good only according to Blas Minyakov, but Hukah Obra, you could say, is considered Dava Shabbala Olam. It could go, it doesn't have to follow. It doesn't have to follow three steps. It could go from below Shachas, and over here there's no real Shachas. Over here, it's considered a Bola Ola. Okay? But if it's not Hukah Obra, it's not even Shachas. So Reb Chaim is saying, from a logical standpoint, that is possible. Now, Reb Chaim is introducing the brackets. He says, and I think this is, to me, very significant, that he says, as a matter of fact, with this understanding, you'll answer Tesis Kasha. Okay? Because Tesis has a powerful question. He says, Rabbi Chanina, who says that the Braisa must be speaking where it's lo Hukah Obra, because if it's Hukah Obra, it's good, according to Blas Ben Yaakov. So Tesis says, who told Rabbi Chanina that this Braisa is Rabbi Blas Ben Yaakov? Maybe this Braisa really is the Chachamim. Okay? So if it's the Chachamim, even Hukah Obra is no good. So the Chanina could have said that the Braisa really is, why qualify the Braisa and say Mu'beres is no good and the Braisa speaking where it's below Hukah Obra, but if it's Hukah Obra it's good, leave the Braisa alone the way it is. The Braisa says Mu'beres is no good, and even Hukah Obra is no good, and it's according to the Chachamim. Because they maintain it ain't the machlo davishlo b'olam. Why do you have to tamper with the brisa? Maybe the mara d'shmaitz of the brisa, the chachamim, and everything is smooth. You see, that's Tesis' question. Okay. So Reb Chaim says, according to the way the Rambam is learning, and the way the Rambam has to learn the Gemara, basically, so Tesis' question is no question, because Rabbi Chanina is saying according to the chachamim, or because according to the Rambam, when Rabbi Chanina comes into the picture and says that the Braisa is speaking by Lo Hukah Obra, but Hukah Obra is qualifying, Hukah Obra is really good. And Tesis, the question, why do you have to qualify? Just say it's going to everybody, it's going to Chachamim. So the Rambam is saying, no, you have to qualify. Because even you can't say it's the Chachamim and every Mu'beres is no good. Because the Rambam maintains that once it's Hukah Obra, it's good even according to the Chachamim, because they hold this in Dava Shabbala Ola. Okay? So Reb Chaim shows you that the Rambam's interpretation will resolve the question of patience. As a matter of fact, to put it in another way, you might say what Reb Chaim is saying is that this is really where the Rambam got his halacha from. Because he was bothered with Tesis' question. Because why did Rabbi Chanina have to qualify the Braisa? The answer, the only one logical answer, if you don't go to other sources, and like Tesis does, and then make other implications, extraneous implications, but from the intrinsic Gemara itself, there's only one logical conclusion. That the reason why he had to qualify, what forced him to qualify, is because he maintained that that's true, that qualification is true according to everybody. So the case of Mu'beres doesn't follow the exact stages of the Torah. Over here, by Hukah Obra, you go immediately into Dava Shabbala Olam. Unless the Hukah Obra, it's not even Shachas. And that answers Tesis' whole question. As a matter of fact, it would see where Reb Chaim is implying is, he doesn't say it outright, but what he's implying is that the logical question of Tesis, if you look carefully at the Gemara, was really resolved by the Rambam. And that could be the very reason that the Rambam was compelled to assert his halacha, namely that Hukah Obra is really Dava Shabbala Olam. It's a Gemara Mefereshes, because if it weren't the case, Rabbi Chanina would not have to qualify the Braisa. Okay, all right. Let me just stop here for a minute in case anybody has any questions. All right, everything clear?
Anybody?
Okay. Yeah, it's an interesting point, and it's something good to keep in mind. But That's the way. Where Reb Chaim does up to this point is simply set up the facts of the Gemara according to the halachic conclusions. But now he goes into an analysis. He didn't go into any analysis of this one. Now he says like this. And he says that the Nemuki Yosef and the first paragraph of Yevamos and the Magid Mishnah and the second paragraph of Ishus, they ask the same question. Question is a question from a Gemara, in Yevamos. Okay? All right. A little complicated. Facts a little complicated there. Okay. But, let me see if I get it. Bring it down to simplicity. Cases like this, that, in the case of Yevamos, so if there are two brothers, and the one brother dies, and then the Isha of the dead brother falls to the living brother for Yuma. Okay? Now, if the dead brother had more than one wife, and if the wife of the dead brother was an erva, besides, for instance, if it was the Yavam's daughter, okay, like you had two brothers and one brother marries his niece, okay. So now if the one married niece should die, so that it'll come out that that's his daughter. So it's an error. So if the one that falls to Yivam is an error, so then there's no use. Okay? It's Potter. Now, not only is she Potter, but the Tsoros are also Potter, which means to say that if there was more than one wife that the dead brother had, so they're all Potter. Okay. Now there's a case of Mema'enis, which is a case made of Rabban. Okay. Now Mema'enis means like this, that you have a young girl that's married mid Rabbanon by her brother. The father's not in the picture, and she's married by father could be either passed away or else the father's not in the picture because she already was married by the father and divorced, so she's out of his jurisdiction. So at any rate, in either case. So if you have a Kedusha Ketana, which is a Kedusha Midrabbanan, okay, and the girl is Mema'enes, which means that she can undo, she can revoke, she can object to the Kedushin when she reaches the age of Godless. So she could be Mema'enes. So if she is Mema'enes after the Ziga, after the brother dies, when she falls to the Rishus of the Yavam, if she is Mema'enes, so we say that he can't be Mi'avema. Okay? And then the question is with regard to the Tzaros. Okay? So that's the case, whether Tzaros or Mahanis is also Asura, but she is definitely Asura. Okay? Why is all the Tolgamar and Yevamos over there? Why that's the case? But that is the case. Okay? So now, the Gemara says like this. Now the Gemara says that you could never have a case where the Mema'enes is a mother-in-law to the Yavam. Okay? All right. And why is that so? Because it's simply a biological question. Why? Because she could never, since she's Mema'enes when she reaches the age of Godless, so it would mean brother had to be married in order for her to be mother-in-law of the Yavam, so the brother would have to be married to her daughter, which is impossible because she's a katana. Okay? So then the Gemara discusses whether a katana can give birth, can't give birth, but the Gemara says it's impossible. So if so, the question is, if you're going to say a katana can give birth, which the Gemara does assume that possibility, so then it would seem that it's possible to have such a case, because she was a katana, she gave birth. And then the brother, and then immediately after she gave birth, this brother was mekadesh her to his brother. Okay? So therefore, and then she's memaenis. And then he dies, and then she falls to Yivam to the living brother, and it comes out that his mother-in-law was memaenis. And Gemara says, you can't have such a case. Even if I should say that a katana could give birth. So the question is, why not? So the Gemara says, because once she gives birth, she's a gedola already. Okay? So the moment she gives birth, so she's a gedola, so she can't be mamanis anymore. Okay? So with the birth, she becomes a gedola. So if you say a katana cannot give birth, so of course you can't have the case. All right? But if you say a katana can give birth, still you can't have the case because she's going to become a gedola ipso facto with the later itself. All right, so then she can't be mamanis anymore, so it's not possible. All right, so that's what the Gemara says. That's the Gemara Yavam. That's what the Rambam's quote. Hikshu al Rambam mehodis goes up beit lohachim amatim chamosom memahenes mishum debanim arayin kisimana. So the moment she gives birth as a ton, the moment she gives birth, she's gedolah, she can't be mamanis anymore. The das al Rambam shon perik beit lohachim just behindu leidas abanim. But the entire time when she's pregnant, during the pregnancy, she still is a katana. So they ask, according to the Rambam, that Paskins, that Hukar Ubra, you could be Makadish, the Ubar. So now you have a problem with the Rambam because it's against an open Gemara. Because the Gemara says there cannot be a case of the mother-in-law being a Mema'enis. And the reason is because Mamarashach, if she didn't give birth, no problem. If she gave birth, if you're going to say only Gdol give birth, no problem. And even if you say Katana give birth, but the moment she gives birth, she gives birth, she's a Gdolah. But the Rambam has created a situation where you can have the mother-in-law be Mema'enis, since you can be Mekadoshah when she's an Uber. So now you have a very simple case that she's a katana, and we maintain a katana can give birth, and you'll tell me that you can't have a mema'enis that's a mother-in-law. No, you can't, because he's mekadesh the uber. So now this is his mother-in-law, and now the brother dies, and she falls to this brother for yibum, and she's mema'enis on the brother, on the yavam. Mema'enis means she's mema'enis against the yavam. Okay, after the zika. All right? That's the case. All right? Everybody follow the case? Okay, so that's the problem of the Nimuki Yosef. That's the Nimuki Yosef's question, that the Rambam, by Paskening, that you could be Mekadosh and Uba, has introduced the case, which is clearly against an open Gemara. Gemara says that a katana can give birth, and nevertheless you can have Chamoso Mema'enes, because when she gives birth, even though she's a katana, she ipso facto becomes a gedola, and therefore mina is not possible. No, it's very possible, because according to the Rambam, he can mekadesh when she's a mubaris. So now the guy with the brother mekudesh to the ubar, the mother-in-law is the katana. And then the brother dies, and then she's Mema'enes before she gives birth. And it'll come out. It's his mother-in-law, of course, according to the Rambam, that's Kedushin. Kedushin Ubo is a Kedushin. Rambam says clearly that that she's Mekudeshes. I raise him Mekudeshes. Okay? That's the crux of the problem. That the Rambam's halacha, which is against, which of course the Ravid critiques us in the Sugya of Kedushin. Because over there, the Sugya is maintaining that that's only according to Blas Ben Yaakov. But the Nimuki Yosef this, it says there's a more powerful question. Never mind how you learn the sugya, but the fact is that there's an open Gemara that says you can't have a certain case of the Mama'anis being the mother-in-law. And according to the Rambam, has created exactly such a case, because he says Mikudeshus. So now you have the mother-in-law that's a Katana, and she didn't give birth yet, so she's not, there's no Banim, so you can't say she's a Gdola, so she's still a Katana, and therefore, then when if the brother dies at that point, if the Mikudesh, the Ubar, so you have a case where she is still a Katana, and she's not a Gdola yet, so then she could be Mama'anis against the, after the Zika, after the Zika. Be Mama'anis to the oven, and that's exactly the case of Mama'anis. Okay, it's like it's an unanswerable question. Okay, that's the Nemukiosis Kasha, Maga Mishnah. All right, it's that's what Rav Chaim is quoting. All right, and Kim Shmasha Pasul Ubra. Yeah, okay. Hamatina Hamos and Mama'anis Uka Ubra. The Bas Mukadeshes Vayim Adayin Tano Bas Miyani and Yeshuva Kusha. Okay. Now he says, the Ran tried to answer this question, tackle this question, because he wanted to say like this. The Ran wanted to say, answer the question very simply. What's your question? You're going to have a Chamoso Mima'enes because of the Rambam's case in Mekadesh the Ubar. Yeah, but one second, the Ram didn't say clearly when the Kedushin takes place. He says, if you would say the Kedushin takes place when the Ubar is an Ubar, then you're right. Clearly, has the Gemara can't fit it. Gemara Yavamas. Okay? However, he says, who says that that has to be the case? The Rambam met Mikudeshus when she's born, not before she's born. That's funny. What kind of a condition is that? So, the Ran says, so therefore, the Kasha is no Kasha, period. Because the Rambam never meant to say that there's Kedushin on an Ubar. That's nonsensical. There's no, what kind of an issue is that? There's nothing to talk about here. So he meant to say you can create a kinyan Kedushin. But when is the Kedushin Chal? The Kedushin is Chal when she's born, not before, okay? So therefore, the Ran says, and now so the whole question is Batla Mavotel. Because it'll come out that the only time he could be his mother-in-law when is she Mekadeshes after the birth? After the birth, Banim Aran Kitsimanim, she's Shigdola, so she can't be minus anymore. So that's it. Okay? That's the Ran's answer. He's Ochem, that's what Rav Chaim is recording. Ochem, Baran, Perakom, Mekur, Dota, Paskaram, Mekur, Mekadeshes, Hainabam, Mashiachula, Kedushin, Lachash, Tele. He even says that that's the case the Ram means where he says that the Kedushin should be Chal, Lachash, Tele. Ava ba'od the ubor ain't kedushin talksim ba. Okay. Well, if he's there, re'lo matina chamos u'mamanas even that kedushin cholam lachash atele does the gedola v'lav bas meaning. Okay. That's the Ran. But Rav Chaim says that the Nemuki Yosef in the Magid Mishnah, who raised the question, he says basically holds that Hadinim won that against the Ran. That they're basically right, and now he sets up their argument. He says, "Udasa nemuki Yosef amagid mishna arei mavua the sphere level the behuka ubra kedushin tofsin miyat." He says, "This is one thing you must say from the nemuki Yosef and amagid mishna. You see clearly they hold it. When is the kedushin tofes? As strange and as paradoxical as it sounds, it's tofes when the ubar is still an ubar." Okay, he says. Now he says, and what is their reasoning? On the surface, it would seem to be a hard position to justify. I mean, that the Kedushin is Chal then. He says, no, I'll tell you what the reason is. He says, the Taimon Nira, the Ilav Achi, because if you're going to say otherwise, if the argument is that you can't say otherwise, he says, because if you're going to say otherwise, Hohavi Dover Shlo Bola Ola. Okay? Why is it a davar shlo balalom? And here's where Chaim, here's a subtlety in the Rav Chaim, where he says like this, why is it considered a davar shlo balalom? He says, because you could say, no, it's not a davar shlo balalom, because the ubar is hukar ubra. And we're saying now, according to the Rambam, that hukar ubra is considered balalom. So why can't you say it's a balalom, but the Kedushin is going to be chal, like the Ran says, the condition will be chal after the birth. Okay? So he says, no, he says. He said, I'll show you why they couldn't say that. He says, Mikol makom kivan she'en kiddushin tosim b'ubar memela zeh she'mekacha la'acha she'telei havi b'chval dover she'bol ha'olam. You see? He says, and came the one of Shachtas Ram Tzarachim, the key one that the Yosa Ubo and Kedushin Toksim bought. The Kudim Muchach Mehach, the one with Sina Chamasim and Ma'enet, and came in the middle of the Gamma Kash, the Avashil of Doshua Balor. What he means like this. Let me just take the first part. What he means like this. That a Dover Shalo Bola Olam, you see, this is the important part. It's like it. He says, the logic of the Nemuki Yosef is very clear. He says like this, a Dover Shalo Bola Olam is not to be viewed in the framework of the physical realm of existence. You see, it has to be viewed in the framework of the halachic kinyanim. Okay? So, for instance, if I'll say that something exists, but vis-a-vis the institution, the halachic institution that relates to it, the halacha can't relate to it, so that's considered lo bala olam vis-a-vis the halacha. In other words, bala olam and lo bala olam should not be contingent upon whether it's physically existing. That's good for biologists. But with regard to halachas, the difference should be clearly in how does the halacha recognize it. If the halacha doesn't recognize it, it could exist without any problem, but the halacha, as far as the halacha is concerned, it's non-existent. Okay, this institution does not recognize that. So the halacha is saying it's lo bola olam. You shouldn't measure bola olam and lo bola olam by the physical attributes, by the physical realm. You should measure Dovash Lo Bol Olam and Bol Olam in terms of the halachic institutions that relate to the thing. If insofar as the halachic institution is concerned, it's nil, so it's Lo Bol Olam. I don't care if it's here, if the halacha doesn't recognize it. That's what Chaim is saying over here. So take a look carefully. So yes. He says, the time of Mira, the Ila, Hochi, Havi, Dovash Lo Bol Olam. Dafilu, Neymar, the Behukroch, Ubroch, Hoshiv, Bol Olam. Since there's no tfisas kedushin, insofar as kedushin is concerned, there's no tfisas kedushin in Uber. So you're telling me that insofar as kedushin is concerned, it's non-existent. So how could you go now and say you're going to be mekadosh or ilacha shatele? Insofar as kedushin, this is nothing. So it's a lo bala olam insofar as kedushin. Lo bala. So how can you do it afterwards? That's exactly the case of Machdavosh or Machdavosh Lobal Olam. Okay? You follow what he's saying? He's saying, so the Ranz and the Nemuki Yosef, really, by not answering, not giving, the reason why he doesn't give the Ranz answer is because, at first sight, the Ranz sounds very rational. But when you look at it a little deeper, you see that, no, he didn't resolve anything. Why? Because now you're caught in the same dilemma of the Machna and the Machna Shlabalolo. Because what are you saying? That you can't have three conditions now as an Uba. And that's why you want to say that the Rambam meant that the condition is going to be Chalacha Shatele. But why can't it do it? Why can't you do it now? Because there's no concept of Kedushin vis-a-vis Uba. So vis-a-vis Uba, it's a low ball, vis-a-vis Kedushin, it's a low ball of Ola. So how could you do it Lacha Shatele? That's exactly the case. You're being machna davar shlo bala olam from the framework of kedushin, which is the right framework that a person should use when he's analyzing a thing. If it's bala olam, if it's shlo bala olam, not in terms of the physical, but in terms of the halachic institution. So you're caught. He says that's why the Nemuki Yosef would never give the Ranz answer, because the Nemuki Yosef is right, basically. Chaim basically holds it like Nemuki Yosef. That in terms of the case of the Ubar, the Rambam is unanswerable. Because if you cannot say, if you're going to say that you can't Mekadosh as an Ubar, then it's a lo bala olam lacha shatele. So you can't say lacha shatele. So now you're forced to say that what? That when he's Mekadoshar, the Ubar is a bas kedushin. So if you're going to say that the Ubar is in fact a bas kedushin, now you have the case of Chamoso Mema'enes, because he's married to the Ubar, and then the Ram Zarchin, him. The Kivan the Biyoso Ubo and Kedushin Tosin Ba, a Kedimuchach Meach Lamatina Hamosom and Ma'enes, because you can't say, now let's take a look at the Rambam. So, from the Gemara of the Ma'enes, you see that one, you can't have Tisus Kedushin, because once you have Tisus Kedushin, you're going to have Hamosom and Ma'enes. And Cain, so therefore you see that what? That the condition can't be tofes. And Cain the Melog, the Gamba Makacha La Achashatele, Abidovishlo Bolaolo. So that's why he says, so then you're going to have to say that he's Makacha La Achashatele, but that's going to be a Dovishlo Bolaolo. So now you're stuck. So he's just putting it in the framework, he's putting the Mugas discussion in the framework of the Gemara. After the Gemara, you see condition can't be tofes. So now, once you see Kedushin can't be Tofsin, so what does that show you? That from the framework of Kedushin, there's nothing here. So therefore, you can't say that he can be Mekadosh al Achashatele. So therefore, the Rambam's case is simply impossible, where the Rambam Paskin, that thesis Kedushin takes place when she's an Ubar. Because if you're going to say it takes place when she's an Ubar, it's against the Imam Menace. You say it can't take place when she's an Ubar, so then it can't take place ever, because it's Ein Ramakin, Davish Lo Bolom. That's basically what Chaim is framing the question. And the Manasha. Does it take place now? It's against the Gemara Yavamas. From the Gemara Yavamas, you see that, well, it can't take place now. It can't take place now. It could never take place. Because then it's a Davish Lo Bolom, and we paskin Ein Ramakin, Davish Lo Bolom. That's the way of Chaim is framing. So therefore, the Rambam paskin that you could be Mekadesh and Ubar, he is, as the Ravid has said, he is definitely in contradiction with the very system of Ein Adam Machna Dover Shalom Bolo. Okay? All right. Okay. Yeah. Just in the line. Okay, nicely good. Vashen Nira Loma B'Dasa Rama. He says, the Be'emes, Kol Shehukar Ubra, HaKibishin Telfsin Bo Ubra Miskeveshes Miyad. That's what he says. There's only one route to take here. That according to the Rambam, you're going to have to say Miskadeshes Miyad, because that other route of the run is a dead end. Okay? Because you'll never be able to say, if you can't say Miyad, then you can't say Lachazman, because then it's the Dovash Lavaro. So you must say the Rambam means Miskadeshes Miyad. There's no question about it. Okay. Vein Tzarech Lomo L'Kishatele. And then, of course, if you said L'Kishatele, then it would be good. Because since it's Miskadesh is Miyad. Kiyim da Kedushin, he says, Kiyim da Kedushin Tosin the Nigmar Miyad. He says, but however, what happens is the Kedushin is Nigmar right away. However, the Uba, Kivan below Chosh of Isha, in Kain Cholad Dino, the Afa God, the Miskacha, the Kedushia, Kvar Nigmaru, Mikom Makom in Ba Uba Din Miskadeshes the Ishus. The rank the Kivan Rakadushin Kfar Cholo Aleha in Cain Kishetolid Hare Yeshbo Kishetivolid. I'm sorry, Hare Yeshbo Ishus Shemikvar. But Al Cain Ainze Shayach with Dover Shlo Balova. Okay. You see, what he's saying is like this. Over here, Rapayim really is revising. Is actually he's breaking through the whole idea of Adam Machna Dover Shalom Bala Olam or Ein Adam Machna Dover Shalom Bala Olam, and he's revising the whole concept. What he's saying is like this: that everybody learns that the question of why do we say Ein Adam Machna Dover Shalom Bala Olam? Simple logic, because if a thing isn't here, how could it have the accident of Kenyan? Kenyan is an accident, after all, in Anachasta. So how is it possible to have a Kenyan in a Chefta if the Chefta is non-existent? Okay, it doesn't make any sense. It's not Kenyano. Okay, yeah. So Rav Chaim says no. You can't say that's the concept of Ein Adam Machna Dover Shalom Bala Olam. That's not a problem. That in reality, it's possible to have a kinyan, to create a kinyan, even though the Dover is Lo Bala Olam. Okay, is as impossible as that sounds. see, according to Halacha, on the contrary, it's very possible. The proof you could bring to the Reb Chaim, Reb Chaim's idea is very simple. Because if you're going to say it's a simple logic that a thing that doesn't exist can't have the accident of kinyan, so how could such so many Tanoim hold other Martin Dovah Shlomo Lolom? Well, it was Yaakov, Rebbe Meir, they maintain other Martin Dovah Shlomo Lolom. If it simply doesn't make any sense, how could they maintain such a thing? Correct? So, therefore, Reb Chaim is saying, you have to revise your whole idea of Adam Machin Dovah Shlomo Lolom, or Ein Adam Machin Dovah Shlomo Lolom. He says, the Machlokis is not a question of whether a thing could be endowed with accidents before it exists. That's not the problem. The problem is, can your Maisei HaKinyan relate to the thing if it's a Dayan Lo Bala Olam? But if somehow or other magically you could relate, you could reach out to it, then it wouldn't be any problem insofar as the Chefta is concerned. You see? There would not be any problem insofar as the Chefta is concerned. Even though it's non-existent, the Chefta could have the attribute of kin. Okay? As strange as that sounds, we'll come back to that. But that's what he's saying. He's basically saying that you must rule out the common notion idea of Ein Adam Machta Davisha Bola Olam, which is that you can create a chalos kin in a non-existent entity. Okay? That's not the problem. The problem is not the chefza. The problem is the Maisei HaKinyan can't reach it, can't relate to it if it's lo bala olam. You see? That really explains very well the Gemara by Shachas and the limitation of Reb Elazar ben Yaakov. Because even Reb Elazar ben Yaakov agrees that the Kinyan has no reach to something that has nothing in existence. But he maintains when you have Shachas, then already there's a reach, so to speak. There's a relationship. If there's a relationship, then you can have a chalos hakinyan. Okay? All right. But the Chachamim maintain, no, the Chachamim maintain ein adam matna davar shlomo lolam, which means that shachas is simply a question of degree. Shachas is not enough. You must have the thing bishlemusa ba'atma. Okay? The thing must really be there. All right? Why? Again, because otherwise you can't, the Maisei HaKinyan can't reach it, can't relate to it. Okay? That's the whole question of Adam Machna Davash Lobalolom or Ein Adam Machna Davash Lobalolom. It's not a question of a substance, a non-existent substance, not being able to have the attribute of Kinyan. That's not the question. The question is, can a Maisei HaKinyan reach it? If it could, somehow, then the kinyana would be chal. Okay, the kinyana would be chal and would be completed. As strange as it sounds, that's what would happen. Okay, so now I'll answer like this. He says, the Be'emes, he says, Kol shehukar ubra kiddushin toksin ba'uva miskadeshes miyad. Vein tzach lamashda. Ki im, da kiddushin toksin imam miyad, ele de ubar, kibin lo choshev isha al kain choladino. The afagav the niskatsha of the kiddushah kvar nigmaru mikomakom ein ba'ubor din niskadeshes v'ishos. So he says, but now he says, you see, what the halacha has maintained, which strange, it is true, it's a very strange halacha, but the halacha has maintained that you can set up halachic institutions and they can be completed before the arrival of an entity. So that when the entity arrives, it's already pre-programmed into the system which the halachic system has already completed for it. You follow? So in other words, if, for instance, let's say by the case of Truma, so let's say according to Wozman Yaakov, so the Shachas, at the moment of Shachas, the Truma's Chal, but the entity won't, the Shein Truma now is just awaiting the Chefta. But the halachic institution has been completed. You see, that's where Reb Chaim's learning the whole question of Adam Machna Davash Lo Balolam or Adam Ein Adam Machna Davash Lo Balolam. If I have Peros Deko, Avida Da'asu, so then it means like this, the Kinyan is Chal, and when the Peros, as they grow in Yomar Rishos. democratic institutions can predate the arrival of the physical phenomenon. And then when the physical phenomenon arrives, so it, so to speak, grows into the halachic structure which has already been pre-established for it. You see? That's what Reb Chaim says. That's the concept. So therefore, he says like this. He says that really, he says, Vashem Nira Lovadasam, the Bemis culture, Ubra, Kedushin, Tosin, Bubamis, Kadeshis, Miyad. Because once it took our Ubra, according to the Rambam, so then it's a Dover HaBola Olam. So since it's a Dover HaBola Olam, so therefore you can relate to it. So the moment by Hukar Ubra, and according to everybody, according to the Rambam, you can relate here, according to the Chachamim, according to Los Ben Yaakov, once it's Hukar Ubra, so now the kinyan can reach it. It can relate to it. It has a Makom Tfisa. So once it has a Makom Tfisa, the halacha is, halachic institutions can predate physical phenomena. So therefore, the kedushin is nigmar miyad. The kedushin talks from the nigmar miyad. Ela de uba kiven lachoshev isha al kain cholagdino the af al gabdin is kacha the kedushin akvar nigmaru. Even though, in terms of the framework of the all halachas of ma'isa kinyanim, the kedushin is complete. Mikomakom ein ba uba din miskadeshes veishus. But there's no din ishus and kedushin in the uba, not because of a lack of the chalos kinyan, the kinyanim, the kinyanim on igmarim, but because the substance hasn't developed yet. Okay, the rak kivan, the kivan that kedushin kvar cholo, alah and kain kishetivoleid harei yesh boha ishus shemikvar. But because the kedushin was chal, so when she comes into existence, she comes into existence with the kedushin. She's, so to speak, born into the kinyan, born into the, her arrival will simultaneously, it will simultaneously, with her arrival, she's actualizing a pre-existing kinyan through the physical. The physical actualizes the pre-existing halachic institution of miskadeshes. But at the time that she is an uba, you see, then there's no, she's not a miskadeshes. Why? Not because of the lack in halachic structural institutions, but because of the lack in her actualization as a physical being. You see, she's not there. So like this, the rag, the kibum, that condition, kvar cholola, and kain kashet, the bolet, the yesh, the yesh, the mitvah. Bal kain ein ze shayach le dover shlo bola olam. The lo nema din dover shlo bola olam, el lahecha de maisa kedushin sarach hu yos lachas man. Avo the miskareshes miyad, shape ha vedover shlo bola olam, dover shlo bola olam. He says, because when do we say that, when he says, when would it be a dover shlo bola olam? He says, that's only if the maisa kedushin would have to be lachas man. Why? Because then there's simply no reach. And the Maisa Kedushin can't relate to it. Then it would be a violation of Einadam Machna Dover Shlo Balalam. Because the Maisa Kedushin basically can't reach that entity, you see. It can't relate to it. That would be a violation of Einadam Machna Dover Shlo Balalam. But over here, since it's Hukar Ubra, so and the Maisi HaKadushin, the Kinyan, has an entity to which it can relate. So then there's no problem. Then we say that this is a Dover Shabola Olam. And from the framework of Kedushin, there's no problem. All the Kinyanim and everything is completed. The only thing is, it requires a physical substratum to actualize it. But from the framework of Kinyanim, it's all perfect. However, when will we be in violation of the Dover Shlo Bola Olam? Yeah, if you make a kinyan that you can't reach, that's Dover Shlo Bola Olam. That's the whole problem of Dover Shlo Bola Olam. The problem of Dover Shlo Bola Olam is if you can't create a kinyan where there's no, the kinyan can't relate to the thing because it's non-existent, it lacks in the relationship of the institution of kinyanim, can't find anything to relate to. That's only lachazman, because there's nothing here to relate to. But where there's something here to relate to, so then from the framework of kinyanim, it's complete 100%. The only thing is, the ishus has to await actualization through the development of the embryo, the uber. You see? So it says like this. Vain Roman Mishum Zegufa. The law of Nisha Vain Badin Miskadeshish Mishum Zegufa Lo Yula Kadishin Kayomin, the law you talk some about Kadishin. He says we shouldn't say. That's because she's not an Isha. So that's why there's no Din Miskadeshis. So that's why the condition should be Tofsin. The Zelo Nemar Elahecha Din Mutino ain't Tofsin Bakadushin. Kigon Arayas Veshifcha. Ve'oz Lesbehu Machmazeh Gam Din Tzisas Kedushin. Masha Eina Kein Be'uba The Ein Chesron Be'atzisas Kedushin. Ve'rach the Dino Hu The Gam Be'eth Shein Miskadeshis Mikomakom Eina Bechal Isha Kein Shapar Mindes The Ein Megarei Klal Din Tzisas Kedushin Shabbat. While King Tofsim but Kedushin very miskadeshes. Namus Hashatei Chazi, Sheheba Din Isha, Sheheba Isha Skayemus Memela. Even the Rei Yim Miskadeshes Valamedes. Okay? So we're applying the years like this. Here's another dimension. He says, and you shouldn't say, because you could say that that's not logical. It's not logical to say that the Kedushin is Nigmarin, but there's no Miskadeshes. I mean, it doesn't make sense logically. He says, that would be true if the Halacha would exclude it. You see, if there would be a halachic exclusion from the chafza, then you'd be logically right. How could you say that all the kedushin is all fine? So, that the kedushin is fine and complete. But the only thing is, there's no object of miskadeshes. That's double talk. It's nonsense. He says, that's only nonsense, though, if the halacha says there can't be a miskadeshes, because then it's a tati the sasri in the same framework. You're saying, halachically, there's a maisa kedushin, but halachically, there's no miskadeshes. That's double talk. That's nonsense. That's absolutely impossible. But that's only impossible where, in the same framework, you say there's no entity, there's no object. You can't say there's a framework of a maisa kedushin, but there's no object of kedushin. That's an impossible concept. That's like the Rambam says, certain concepts are impossible. You can't say a thing is in motion, but it's not really. But it's not really moving. I mean, certain things are logically impossible. So that's one. That would be a logical impossibility. But where the reason why there's no miskadeshes doesn't stem from the intrinsic halachic system, but it's just because there's an absence of the physical to be actualized, he says, then there's no problem. He says, then that's not a logical problem. If it's within the system, then you can't say that there's a full kedushin, but there's no object to receive. If it's within the system, that's, you're right, that's impossible. But where the system is fine, halachically and logically, there's no problem. The only thing is, we have to await the emergence of something to receive the halachic phenomenon. Then you could say very well that the kedushin, kinyan and kedushin are complete, but there is no object to receive it. That's what I'm saying. It depends why it would be illogical to say there's no object to receive it. If there's no object to receive it, because intrinsically it's halachically impossible, like by a riot, you're right. That's completely illogical. But if the reason why there's no object is not because there's a halachic contradiction, but simply we have to await for a substratum to actualize this halachic institution. Well, halachic institution is fine. Then he says there's no logical problem. And that's why she's miskadeshes miyad, and the kedushin is miyad, but there is no miskadeshes. Okay? That's what he says. In other words, you have the kinyan and kedushin are complete, but there is no miskadeshes, and that's only because of a lack of a hechikinta, so to speak. But not because of a lack in terms of an intrinsic lack. An intrinsic lack would be a logical impossibility. That's what he says. He says, Lechiza. That's basically what he says. Lechiza re mi yushiv ma delo matzinu chamosa me ma'es. He says, the afal gav de uba kvane skan. Is that skipping there? He says, Lechiza re mi yushiv ma delo matzinu chamosa me ma'es. He says, now we can understand very well why we didn't find chamosa. We can't have a case of chamosa and ma'anis. And even though the kedusha ubo, which the Rambam says is kedushin, is true. He says, why? He says, Vafka du gazesh av mikoma kom to the comes one place. Vafka du bukvanis kadesh av mikoma kom to them the gufa ubo ein bo din miskadeshes shuv ein be'imo din ervo. The machma sakidushim bochu dayu ein anasis ervo. Bechol zman she'ena bechol isho. She'yei begufa din mikudeshes v'din ishus od eino osarayas. Vim kein o ervo shal chamosa. Who rakish a yoda? Oz shuvi gedolo. They know basmian. So he says that's the solution. The answer now is very clear, because the Rambam is right that there is a chalos kedushin when she's a yoda, and the chalos kedushin is complete. Why is it impossible? What would happen now if after this the brother would die, and then she'd be no for leavum, and then she'd be Mama'anis during the Zika? He says, that wouldn't be Chamos of Mama'anis. Why not? Not because the Kedusha is not Chal, Kedusha is Chal 100%, but because in order to be Chamos over there in the realm of Yibum, you're dealing with the realm of Arias. And the realm of Arias, she doesn't have a din of Chamos insofar as Arias is concerned. Why? Because even though the chalos kedushin, no kinyanic kedushin took place, and there's no problem of the davar shelo bo la'olam, but the fact is there is no issues here because the entity has not been actualized because of a lack in terms of the physical existence has not been actualized. So he says, so then there's no din arayus, because arayus is contingent upon a real issues, a real issues in a real person. Then you have arayus. But over here, there is no real person yet. So the Kinyana Kedushin is one system. That's true. That's complete in Miskadeshis. But in terms of the actualization of the institution of Arias, that's contingent upon a real Isha. And over here, there is no real Isha because the situation, simply the Echitensa, the situation does not come about. So both things are true. The Kedushin is Chal. Right now, there's Kedushin. But the Ishus can't emerge, not because of a halachic lack, but because the situation didn't arrive yet. So, therefore, it's an impossibility to have chamos and mema'enes, because if she's mema'enes at that point during the Zika and after the Kedushay Ubar, so that's not chamoso, because it's not arayus. So you'll never have a case of chamos and mema'enes. Now he's, okay, that's so the Rambam, so basically he's dissolved the Rambam. He's resolved the Rambam, okay, with the introduction of his new concept and what the ideas of Eino the Machna V'Shlobal Olam or other Machna V'Shlobal Olam. Now he says like this. Now he's fine tuning it. He says like this. V'im Neima V'zeh Dochuk Loma Shelo Yehei Bo Din Miskadeshes V'Hakidushi Yiyu Nigmarin Bo Avol Zos Arei B'Vavei Nucha Loma The yesh bo din miskadeshes, or mikol makom din isha sembo, or mishum da adayin eino isha she yochul oleho din ishus. The rakish and nolda who the yesh bo ishus memela. The yishashe gamkin das rambam the name. After the yesh bo din miskadeshes, mikol makom kol shein bo din ishus eino arayus. The yikud din arayus rak the ishus talya. The ishus bilach hold in erva alakrovas alakrovim. And king now forgot the uba miskadeshes. Mikomachom arayus in the osa. Rakishet tivoleid. Lochi lo matzino chamosu menes kibosh kasafan kasafan micha. Okay. So what he's saying is, he's fine to me. Even he's playing with the idea, the logical point about the logical contradiction. He's revealing it again. In other words, the logical point is, that how could you say that you have an action and the thing acted upon, you have an action which is qualified and completed and validated, and there's nothing there that it acted upon, you see? So he says, even though you might want to argue, says, and say that it's dochuk to say that she shouldn't have a din miskadeshes, and the Kedushin should be Nigmarin, okay, you might want to argue that that's not possible, even though he's in doubt about that. He's not sure. But even if you want to say that, if he's not going into why, he's just throwing out what's going on in his mind. It's not good. Even if you want to say that it can't be a din miskadeshes, I mean, you can't say she's not a miskadeshes. And the kedushin on the Gemarin, he says, you still can answer the Rambam. Because you could say that there is a chalos din miskadeshes over here. But the chalos, she is a miskadeshes in terms of she's a recipient of the kinyan of kedushin. But the only thing is that there's no din ishus over here. You can have a chalos din miskadeshes in a chafza, she's miskadeshes. But the din erva is only when ishus comes into the picture. And ishus does not come into the picture until she's a gedola. You see? So, yes. He says, because the concept of ishus the difference between miskadeshes and ishus is that miskadeshes is a kinyan idea. It's an issa. Also, our kuliyam kadesh. It's a pure kinyan chalos. Ishus is a relationship. Is a relationship. For instance, I'll give an example. By an akum, there's ishus also. There's ishus by an akum also. So ishus is an existing relationship. So therefore, what he's saying is like this. If you want to argue that you can't say that there's a maisa kedushin without a miskadeshes, okay, so he says you don't have to say that. You could say that miskadeshes takes place because that's strictly a kinyan idea. So there is a miskadeshes here. But ishus is definitely a different kind of a phenomenon, which is a relationship that results from a certain situation. It's true, the kedushin brings in that situation, but the situation is not possible without an ishus. Ishus is not possible with hilchas ishus. Ishus is not possible without an ishus. So that's for sure. You have to agree that there's no ishus because she wasn't born yet. There's no ishus. There's no ishus. There's no ishus. But the kedushin, in terms of miskadeshes, that we could say that she is a miskadeshes from the framework of technical kinyanei kedushin. There is a miskadeshes, but ishus can't arrive until you have the phenomenon, the relationship. He says, but arayus is contingent on ishus. So therefore, the chamosa will never become an erva, because erva is not contingent on the technical kedushin. Arayus is contingent upon the relationship, and the relationship is the ishus. So since there's no ishus yet, because the individual has not reach the state of Isha, it's lacking that state, and that's why the Ishas can't come into the condition, so to speak. The condition of the Isha has not arrived yet, so therefore the Ishas cannot come into existence. But we can say that the Miskadeshes is here, but this Miskadeshes is a strange Miskadeshes, because there's no Ishas, not because of any logical exclusion, but because it hasn't arrived yet. But nevertheless, there is no ishus. And arayus is contingent upon ishus, not on extract kinyan tradition. So therefore, you'll never have the case of chamos and ma'enes, because that's for sure that you can't speak of ishus by an uba. That's nonsensical. Ishus by an uba is totally nonsensical. But the moment she'll be born, then the ishus will come into the picture, then the arayus will come into the picture, but then she'll be a gedola. So that's why chamos and ma'enes is not possible. Okay, that's basically our plan. Now he skips back to show you something about the writer. And he says like this. He says, V'hine a writer, ha-recholek, v'sfirlei de-inkibushin toksim, v'v'mishim na-v'davash lo-balala. V'cholek al-arama. V'sfirlei de-ubor, hino ba-maisa-kibushin klal. Okay? So he says, you've got to say, the Ravid maintains that differently. The Ravid disagrees with the Rambam. He says, Och enir, the aflachi das a Rambam, the ma shekasav, the reina komakom, lohoya bolach lalishus, the memela lohava tafsiba kedushin, the ain kedushin below ishus. The achmishim, the choshev bar ishus, hold the lakisha tele, the reyej bo
Over here is because the Ubar is in a is in a state where it's in a developing state. So in that state is already the elements of Ishus haven't reached their fruition, haven't reached their full development, but they are in a state where they will develop automatically. So in such a phenomenon, you could speak about a tfisas kedushin, because there's no lack here. Like you explained before, if it were a problem, for instance, there'd be halachos that would be make it impossible for tfisas kedushin. So then it's nonsensical to say that there's an action without an affect, so to speak. There's an action, but it didn't do anything to anything. That's not logical. It's double thought. But over here, the reason why it's possible is because the ubor is omed me'atzmo to emerge into an isha, and the ishus will then be realized. It's in a state where it's omed for realization. So, and nothing has to be done. So that's why in such a state, you can speak about a tfisas kedushin. Because tfisas kedushin without ishus is completely nonsensical. Okay? But over here, the reason why it makes sense is because the ubar is a beginning state, so to speak. It's just, nothing has to happen in order, it's just a matter of time, but nothing, no change has to take place. It's just a matter of time, and automatically the ishus will emerge. In other words, you are, so to speak, inside of the ishus, even though the ishus hasn't been realized, but no change is necessary. So that's why you could speak about a kinyan kedushin. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to, because otherwise, to speak about a tfisas kedushin without an ishus is nonsense. Of course, tfisas kedushin is ishus. It's a kinyan ishus. So why is it possible over here? And that's what he's explaining over here. He's saying the reason why it's possible is because the ubar is, so to speak, an omedes for ishus. So where you're in the proximity, where the ishus is omedes, is in a state where it's going to emerge automatically, now we can speak about a kinyan of tfisas kedushin. It makes sense. But if you aren't in that state where it's omedes automatically, then the tfisas kedushin would not make any sense, because tfisas kedushin without ishus in sight, so to speak, is nonsense. Okay? He's refining, he's explaining the idea of why you have tfisas kedushin, how you can have tfisas kedushin without the ishus. It's a very important point. He's refining his concept over here, and he's showing you why it's logical that it should work. The reason it's logical that it should work is because even though ordinarily tfisas kedushin without ishus is nonsense, but over here in the case of the ubar, nothing has to transpire for the ishus to emerge. It's just an automatic process. So you're right now in the proximity of ishus, so to speak. You're right now, the ishus is omed. It just lacks the full development of the ubar. That's the only thing that's standing in the way. It's a lack of the full development of the actualization, the full development of the ubar. But insofar as everything else is concerned, everything is perfect. So that's why you could speak about a halos kedushin in this case. That's basically what he's saying. Okay? See, that's what he says. Then he says, Arami, come on. According to the way we explain the Rambam, if it wouldn't come to Ishus, then the Mela lo avatav shibo kedushin. I'm sorry, I think that comes from the place. In lo hoya bala klal Ishus, then the Mela, it should be after the Mela. If it wouldn't come to Ishus automatically, lo avatav shibo kedushin. So there wouldn't be any Ishus kedushin. The ain't kedushin below Ishus, you see. Ba'ach mishum the choshev bar ishus, and the only reason it works is because she's choshev a bar ishus. Why? Ho'ol delikashet teileta reyesh bo ishus. Because when she will be born, there will be ishus. The zemo'ol, and that helps, the fact that she's omedes for ishus, helps the mishum achi gami bo kedushin gam ba'o da uba. And that's why the kedushin works even now, when she's only a uba. The zelo shaykh loma di eid dava choshev shlo, eid choshev dava shlo ba'lo alam. And you can't say that's not a problem. He's going back in the negative, and that's not a problem to exclude it, because we will argue with the Dover Shlo Bola Ola. Okay? Because, you see, because the Ishus will happen automatically through the Kedushin that's occurring right now. You see, that's what I was mistaken before in that Kama over there. The Kama should be after the Memela. He says, the Ein Tzarach Lachol Boshum Dava Chodesh, and nothing new has to occur. Below Shum Gemar Dava Ba Kedushin, Kivan Da Kedushin Ra Nigmar Mehashta. He says, nothing has to transpire because everything is intact and the Kedushin is Chal. And the only thing a kinyan can't take place, the mitzvah, it must be complete. Over here, the thing is fully complete because the only thing that's lacking is an absence of the full development. But all the seeds of development are here right now. And since that's the case, so the kinyan kedushin can be accomplished. Okay, that's what he's saying here. It's a very nice refinement of what he said before. But with that refinement, he shows you something interesting. He says, "Ochay nira the kol zehu in neimar the etzem uubra mishehukar uubra ino choshes davish lo balalam." He says that that's only if we should say that the uubar itself, the substance of the uubar, is not considered intrinsically a davish lo balalam. That's why the Ishus Lachashativoleid is considered good because it only lacks later. Okay? So he says that requires one thing. It requires that when you look at an ubar, the question is, what do you see? Do you see in an ubar an underdeveloped isha? Okay? Then we could say everything is set. So therefore, the Kedushin can take place, because Kedushin must relate to Ishus. And over here, it's true the Ishus isn't complete, but there it's lacking in development, the quantitative lack in the Shem Isha. But if I should say that an Ubar is not an Isha at all, and an Ubar is only, so to speak, something that is a forerunner of an Isha, okay? But it has nothing to do with the actual Isha. It's just something which is a forerunner of an Isha. So first there's an Ubar, and then there's an Isha. But the Leda really is a qualitative change insofar as the Ubar is concerned. And at Leda, the Ubar is converted into an Isha. If I should say that concept, then I could never say the Rambam Talocha that the Kedushin should be Chal. Because then it would be more than just a lack in development. It would be a lack of the substance of the Isha. Because the Leda creates the Isha. So then it couldn't work. Then the Rabbi Chaim saying, then my whole logic wouldn't work. The whole logic is contingent upon the fact that the Kinyan must relate to something that's Bida Hashta. And it can only relate to a Bida Hashta where the only thing that's lacking is time for the development of the Ubar. But not a qualitative change. However, if I should say that an Ubar is qualitatively not a Vlad, it's a different thing. It's a forerunner. In other words, what I'm saying is there's two types of impotentia. There's a potential in terms of where it started, but it hasn't completed fully. And then there's another kind of a qualitative potential. This is a potential Vlad, but in a qualitative sense, there is no Vlad here. So he says, if you're going to say it that way, he says, then you could never have the Chalos Kinyan Kedushin to take place right now because there's nothing to take place on. Okay? So he says, according to that, you could say, the Bamas Gamlefidas arises. Hayat Tzarech Lios Hadin Debeubar. Tzarech Lios Tosin HaKedushin. Gam Keshu Ubar. That the Raivin himself would agree with the Rambam's idea that the Tfisas Kedushin in the case of the Ubar should take place, because the Ubar is already a Schola of a Gavra Vishas. Okay? Rak, the Kivan the Ubar Choshev Davash Lobala Olam. But since according to the Raivit, an Ubar is intrinsically, qualitatively differentiated from the Vlad, in came the Melelo Choshev Ato Barishas Klau. Now she's not a Barishas at all. And that's why, according to the right, there's no thesis kedushin. And here's where it's different from where we want to interpret. We want to take the Rav Chaim to explain the whole machlokes of Adam Matna and Ein Adam Matna. But Rav Chaim makes it clear that according to the Mandoma, that Adam Matna Devash Lo Bala Olam, there's no problem of reach, so to speak. That he holds he can relate to the thing even though it's not Bala Olam. Okay? That's the machlokes of Adam Matna Devash Lo Bala Olam or Ein Adam Matna Devash Lo Bala Olam. That's the machlokes. In other words, the machlokes is, Can the Maisa Kinyan reach in advance to an entity that's non-existent completely? That's the Machlokes Tanoim. Okay, so according to those Tanoim, according to Rebbe and Reb Meir and Reb Loz Ben Yaakov, it can. You can do that. But according to our Tzach, you can't. It's an interesting thing. It's based on the idea of the primacy of a Lohit system. They can set it up in advance, and you can relate to it even though it's non-existent. It's an amazing halacha, but that's what they hold. So he says, and that's why the Ravid says that this is contingent upon whether we say other matnah davar shlo balolam or ain other matnah davar shlo balolam, and we say ain other matnah davar shlo balolam. So he says, why? Because the Ravid really theoretically would agree with the Rambam, except for one thing, that he holds that ubar is not a haschola of a vlad of an isha. It's a qualitatively, it's not that she lacks the act of leda. It's the lack in leda is a qualitative phenomenon. And therefore, there's nothing here to talk about. There's no ishus in sight. So now you're going to have to say, you're going to have to relate to her after leda. That's already bridging the gap. To bridge that gap, you require the halacha of Adam Matna Davar Shlo Bala Olam. And that we don't hold from. That we don't pass from. But it's an interesting thing. If you think carefully about it, this really brings you back to the beginning of the Reb Chaim, where he set up the Gemara. You see, in that first paragraph, where he set up the Gemara. And now when you go back, you can understand the Gemara very nicely, according to the Rambam and according to the Ravid. Because by Shachas is definitely not intrinsic Tvua. You see, it's not quantitatively different from Hevi or Shlish. That's a qualitative differentiation in Shachas. That's why Shachas is contingent upon other Matna Davar Shlo Bala Olam or Ein other Matna Davar Shlo Bala Olam. You see? But then when the Gemara brings in Ubar, here's the Machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid. The Rambam is saying that it's when it's Hukar Ubra, so it's at the level of Shachas. You see? But the Rambam says, but there's one difference. The difference is you can't equate Ubar and Shachas, because in Shachas, there's a qualitative difference between Shachas and between Hevi or Shlish and Tfua. That's qualitative. But by Ubar, it's only quantitative. So it's true that less than Hukar Ubro would be nothing according to Rav Loza ben Yaakov. But Hukar Ubro over here is quantitatively the potentiality for the Vlad. It's a quantitative difference between now and between the later. All you need is that the later should unravel, should unfold. Masha'ina came by Shachas, when it's Hevi or Shlish, that's a qualitative difference. So the Gemara is very beautiful, because the Gemara equates the two, but the equation is only with regard to one framework. That less than that is nothing. That is identical to Shachas. But once you have it, now there are two ways to go. Now it is a forerunner of the Vlad, just like Shachas is a forerunner of the Hevi or Shlish, but it's a forerunner in a different way, according to the Rambam. According to the Ravid, it's the same thing. It's exactly analogous. So therefore, he holds is that you have to hold like other Matna Davar Shlo Bala Olam in order to have Kedushin. But the Rambam holds it's analogous to Shachas in one sense, that now you have something here that's a haschola that's a forerunner of the Vlad, just like Shachas is the forerunner of the Tfuah of the Hevi or Shlish. But there's one difference. In Shachas, it's the qualitative forerunner. In Hukar Ubra, it's quantitative. So that's why by Hukar, they both agree you must have the forerunner. In that sense, they're equal. You need a forerunner. Without a forerunner, there's nothing. But this forerunner is different because once you have this forerunner, now all you have to do is to wait for the Vlad to unfold. Masha'en came from Shachas, so as Yishmish, you need a qualitative differentiation. That's why, so that's how the Rambam's learning. And the Rambam's proof, actually, is from the Gemara itself. That's a lot of difference. Because otherwise the Gemara could have said that the Mishnah is really going, not like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, but it's going like the Chachamim. Because that's why Lo Amar Klum, because it's only, it's a qualitative forerunner, just like Shachas. You see? So the Gemara, that's why where Rav Chaim set out that first piece, that first paragraph there, he's really setting the framework. And after he concludes, if you go back carefully to that first, to his first piece, you see exactly how it fits into the Gemara. Okay? All right, that's basically the Rav Chaim. Okay. I just want to think about one thing. Just give me a couple of minutes, all right? But that's basically the Rav Chaim. Okay. So now, so in other words, the machlekes of other matna davar shelo ba'al olam or ein other matna davar shelo ba'al olam is a machlekes in the case where the existence of the thing, only where the existence of the thing is imminent. If you have imminent existence, but according to the Manda Omar, but the difference between the two positions is whether, according to the Manda Omar, matna davar shelo ba'al olam, what he's saying is you must have imminent existence. But once you have imminent existence, now the kinyan can transcend the barrier of time, so to speak, and be chal on something that exists at a future date. Whereas according to us, we hold that transcending the barrier of time is not possible. You can't bridge the gap. It must be chal right now, 100%. Okay, that's it. Can't have shachas. Rashi, as a matter of fact, says shachas is royal of behemto. But it's not the beginning of tefillah. Tefillah, either you have tefillah or you don't have tefillah. You understand? There's a difference between, if you want me to put it down the tape, all right? All right? Hello?
Yeah.
Okay. There's a difference between tefillah and between an adam. That's it. By tefillah is a practical object. So there's no beginning of tefillah. An adam is a different kind of a creation. An adam is a totally different thing. So you can't compare the tool as a practical thing. Either you have it or you don't. It's something that's edible for human consumption or not. It's either it's for human consumption or it's not ready for human consumption. You can't have a beginning process. But in the emergence of an adam, now you're talking about a completely different kind of a phenomenon. So over there, we say that he emerges from the time of from the time he's an uba. That's a completely different entity. You can't compare two different things. One's a practical thing. Either it's ready. Over there, it's only qualitative. It's consumable, not consumable. It's not. There's no forerunner. It makes a lot of sense, actually. But with regard to Adam, that's a different parsha. Adam is different. There's a significance in the Ashkola of Adam. It's a different kind of a thing. He's not just a practical object. You either got to eat out. I mean, you can't say I have Ashkola food. I mean, you can eat it, you can't eat it. But in the emergence of an Adam, you're talking about a different realm of going from a forerunner to a full existence. It's a different kind of it's a different parsha completely. Over there, we look at it differently. We say even though he hasn't arrived yet, but everything in the process is ready to go. A different kind of, a different area. It has to be analyzed differently. It's not just a practical thing. Practical thing you have, you know, there's no in between. Okay. Yeah. No, because if it's not hukah rubra, so then it'll lack in terms of, just like by shachas, then you can't speak about a substance that's imminent. It has to be a substance that's manifestly imminent. It has to be manifest. That's what the Gemara says. Rubra is not enough. It must be manifest that it's imminent. But these are details. I mean, that's not the main idea of Rohan. Does not exist. What I could say from him is that he's saying that that's the primacy of the halachic realities. That the primacy of the halachic realities is that you could set up a halachic reality in advance, and then when the thing comes into existence, it'll come into that halachic framework. That's the only way to explain it. There's a primacy of the halachic realities. That's what he's saying. Can't explain that a matan davar shelo ba'al olam, otherwise that's impossible. Can't explain it any other way. Otherwise, you're going to have a problem. See, that question is contingent. I think we took it up last time, as a matter of fact. I'm sorry. I mean, that's the idea of the primacy of halachic reality. It has a primacy in existence. And from the standpoint of halacha, halacha has a primacy of reality, not the physical world. If it were the physical world that had a primacy of reality, then you'd be right. How could you have a substance without a how do you have an accident without a substance yet? But that's only if there's a primacy of the physical. In the physical world, that's true. But if there's a primacy of halachic realities, so then it doesn't work that way. Because then we could set up the halachic reality in advance, and the physical just has to fit into it. Okay? All right. That's a good point. Did you put on tape? Okay. We sort of skirted by that issue last time. I think we didn't really fully develop it, but that's correct. That's based on the understanding of the Reb Chaim when we mentioned that. Didn't we mention the halachic reality, the promise of halachic reality? We mentioned that, correct? Yeah, right. That's based.